give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, I give, and to thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Psalms chapter 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, almost the same scripture there, same reading. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And then one more scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Just bow our hearts to him. Lord, we just bow our hearts to you now, just to ask God for your blessings tonight upon this little gathering. Lord, we know that your word is blessed. It's you, it's your presence, Lord. And we receive it tonight. We just give preeminence to your word, Lord, and just ask God that you would anoint it into our hearts, into our ears, that we'd hear, Lord, that it would make changes in our life. We love you, Lord, and we just want to look into the things that you have brought to us in this day and give attention to them. And so we ask God that you just be with us tonight in this service and go to each one, speak to every heart, and those that are tuning in from a distance. And we just ask the same for them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Title of this tonight is Respect. Amen. Anybody knows what the word respect means? So, you know, it may seem like a simple little subject, respect. And I've said this concerning other scriptures. This topic is probably just as important just like anything, any other scripture, any other topic in the Bible, but you may think it's a simple subject, but is it really? As I have said here in the past, you know, when Jesus was given a Sermon on the Mount, we talk about Sermon on the Mount being a story for little children. And, you know, because they told you that during Sunday school. They'd tell you about Jesus and read those things. But, you know, Jesus, that's where he was telling people, you know, to do good to them that, you know, would persecute you and all the different things, and do good to those that don't do good to you. And so concerning that, I'd say the same thing. Is that really for children? You know? Try it. Yeah. Try and do what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Right. Yeah? Somebody smites you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. Try that. I've never seen anybody do that. Right. Have you ever seen anybody do that? Right? They sue you for your coat, and you give them a cloak in addition, right? Did you ever see anybody do that? Here, you sue me for $1,000, and I'll give you another $1,000. Yeah. So you see, well, why not? It's Jesus. He said it. It's in Scripture. It's abided throughout the ages. Yeah. Still with us today. Still eternal words. Yeah. But you don't see people doing it.
Right.
So I say, is it really for children? I guess it is for God's children.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyhow, this subject of being of respect, you say, well, I know what respect is. But try it.
Right.
Try it in all times and all cases. And so you understand what I'm saying. And Brother Brandon preached a sermon called Respect, so we will read some quotes out of that tonight. And so the scripture tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
And so Brother Daniel had mentioned something this last Sunday about, I forget what it was, respect or reverence and so forth. And I've been thinking about that. And then this sermon was on my phone there, Brother Brandon. And so I listened to that. And so that's where this little thought come tonight. About respect. And so, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so I was kind of looking up the definition of wisdom, and I've always said, well, you know, you can learn knowledge, you know, somebody can teach you knowledge, but wisdom is something you kind of have to learn, you know, by hard knocks or whatever. But if you look at it, they really kind of call the difference between knowledge and wisdom. You can learn knowledge, but wisdom is the ability to make good, sane, sound decisions is to use that knowledge that you have and have good discernment.
Yeah.
Right? That's wisdom. And so the scripture says, you know, because, man, there's people out there in the world that's got knowledge a whole lot smarter than any of us or all of us put together probably.
Okay.
But how much wisdom do they have? Because people can do all kinds of things, but you look in their life and you see they have no wisdom because they're not very good at judging it with discernment. On the right things, and the world is eat up with a whole society that has no wisdom.
Yeah.
And so, you know, another thing I can throw in there that comes to mind right now is that, you know, that people who've run this race before you, they have some things they can tell you.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it ain't just knowledge. Right. It's wisdom that they have.
Yeah.
And so you should pay attention to that. They didn't get those gray hairs by doing something stupid and dying young. They're older because they've lived that long, right? And they've seen a lot of things go under the bridge, under the water, under the bridge. And so, should listen to them. And so, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So, in other words, when I look at that, I think it's a foundation that you can build everything else on. You have to have fear for God. And I think that's one thing that's missing. You know, people... You know, they're raised in church or whatever, and I think I heard my wife say this one time like this, and I thought it was a good way to describe it, but they kind of go out and do a little bit of something they know they shouldn't do, and lightning doesn't strike, so they go a little further.
Yeah.
And people have lost a fear for the Lord.
Yep.
And so, but the scripture says that a fear for the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and so you've got to have fear, the fear of the Lord, to have a life full of wisdom and balance and discernment has to be built upon that. If you don't have fear for the Lord, who knows what you're going to be, right? You can look out in the world to see it. And so, but you know, fear, we talk about that, it's not that you fear that God's going to destroy you or something like that, but it's a reverential respect for God. And so, I'll read some of these things that Brother Brandon had to say about it. And I'll try not to keep you real long. Brother Brandon said, I wanted to take the subject from here of respect. Reading here, and he read the scripture we did, where David is crying out to the Lord. And respect is what we owe to God. Brother Brandon says, we owe it to God. Well, every person on the face of the earth owes respect to God.
Yeah.
Right? I've said it. You know, last time I looked, you're in his universe. You're in a body that he made, and you're breathing air that he puts in your lungs.
Yeah.
Right? And so the world doesn't want to think that they have to answer to a morally to God, but they do. And so here Brother Ram is saying is that we owe God, we owe respect to God. That's what we owe him. And that's one thing that I want to drill into every heart of every person tonight. Is in all things that we see going on. Now, what was going on at that time, right? Brother Branham was preaching this in 1961, and look at all the things that were going on. And he said, in all the things that we see going on, we must give respects to it. So we must respect it. And David said that when there were few men in Israel, perhaps Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who he was speaking of, very few men, he rebuked nations and kings for them. God rebuked nations and kings, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And he said, now that doesn't mean that you're afraid of him, but it means that you are giving him respect and reverence. And when you respect God, now listen to this, when you respect God, you fear God. And you fear that you might displease him in some way. How many knows what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You fear that you might displease him in some way, and you fear lest you would do something wrong you wouldn't want to do. And so it's not afraid, but it's a reverential respect, and it's a healthy respect, a healthy fear to respect God and respect the things that that's going on. And so it's not just God, and we'll talk about this, but the things that he's doing. There's a respect that we should have to what we see God doing. And so we want to just kind of talk about those things a little bit. So it's not just to God, respect to God, but it's to his program and to everything that he's called us to. And I hope I can explain this, what I mean. He's called us to live a Christian life, but he's called us to walk a certain way, act a certain way, dress a certain way, you know, treat people. You know, and the whole Christian walk, he has called us to that.
Yeah.
And we must have respect to all the details of what it means to be a Christian. You can't omit something. You can't say, well, I'll do this part, but I won't do that part.
Yeah.
We must, to give respect to God, we have to give respect to his entire program and everything that he's called us to be. And we must do that at all times.
Right.
Not just, you know, when you're home or just when you're in church or whatever. And of course, you know, if you have a new birth, that birth lives what it is all 24/7, right? So then it goes back to that. You have to have that new birth. That's the most fundamental thing in Christianity, is a new birth, because you can't live it if you don't have that. But he's promised it to you, so you can have it. And so you have to have respect to God and to his program and everything that goes with that. Because when you disrespect his word, you're disrespecting him.
Right.
Now, you have to have not just respect for God and for his program, but in that program, you have to have respect for his servants.
Yeah.
For his servants and for his people and for each other. I think I mentioned this last Sunday at the end of service. I was reading there where they had bound Paul.
Yeah.
They were getting ready to beat him. And he asked them, is it lawful for you to be a Roman? And these Romans that were pretty high up, they got scared just simply because they had bound another Roman. And so I said, well, you know, if that's the way they are, what should we be like to know that, hey, I mean, this brother right here, he's another part of the body of Christ. And if I've done something to him, I should fear.
Yeah.
You should fear. So you fear God's servants, you fear God's people,
yeah.
Fear that, you know, that you might mistreat them, that you might put a stumbling block in their way, that you might do something that would mislead them or cause them to misunderstand scriptures or something like that.
Yeah.
You have to have a fear for God and to fearfully walk in the reverence for the Lord to live this thing. We say life is a struggle. It's just not a flowery bed at ease. We must with passion live for the Lord and do what's right and seek him and implore him to live through us so that we live according to his gospel.
Right.
And so we want to have reverence to God and his program and to his servants, to each other. So Brother Ram says, I fear my mother. That's what he said. Do you fear your mother? You should. she'll quit cooking fried chicken if you do. You know. He said, I fear my mother. I fear my wife. So do I. He He said, I fear my church.
Yeah.
Now listen, don't, as Brother Daniel said, don't just let this go by. Try to understand what Brother Graham's saying here.
Yeah.
Right? You fear your mother? You fear your wife? You fear the church?
Yeah.
Because if we get in the right frame of mind and the right thinking of God's program, you'll understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fearful thing.
Yes.
Because no one in this world or this universe can walk this walk unless it's a holy walk with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's the only way it can happen.
That's right.
And it's a, listen, I think that's one thing that needs to happen. The reverence and the holiness and the awe needs to come back into the church.
Amen.
So that people understand we are serving a holy God.
Yes.
I was telling someone today a couple of testimonies of the things that God had done. And I said, that's the God I serve, and that's the God I want to see moving in our midst.
Amen.
Right? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And that's a promise to him. So he said, I fear my church. I fear all of God's servants unless I should put a stumbling block somewhere in their way. How many wants to cause somebody to stumble in the Lord? At all, even physically. You don't want to do that. But in order to do that, we must have a proper fear and reverence for God and his word and what this means to be a Christian.
Yeah.
And to live reverently. And think about what you're doing and think about what you're saying that other people are seeing and what the effect that's going to do on them.
Yeah.
Think about how you drive.
Yeah.
I'm preaching at me. Because I don't like people piddling around. If you're going to go somewhere, I want to go.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be 20 miles an hour under the speed limit for no reason, right?
Amen.
But, you know, that's preaching at me. You know, preachers do that. They preach to themselves.
Amen.
That happens all the time.
Right.
So he fears the people, lest he put a stumbling block in their way. I fear the people. Now you think he's talking about church, but he says, I fear the people of the city. Now he's talking about sinners or people outside the church.
Right.
Unless I should do something wrong that would make them think that I wasn't a Christian. Think about that. Your family, your co-workers, other people in church, people out in the world. You know, the scriptures talk about having a good report to them with them that are without. We're to have a good report not just with people in church, not just people in our family, but we're to have a good report with people out there. And I realize, you live the gospel, you're going to have enemies.
Yeah.
But you understand, you can have enemies and still live right, and people will say that those people, and, you know, they'll testify to your testimony
yeah.
and what you are.
Right.
So, lest I would do something make them think I wasn't a Christian. See, you've got before you can have respect, you have to have fear. And God demands it. He demands respect, God does. He demands it. And fear brings it, and we know that fear brings respect. In one place, he goes on to say there, and he says that when you fear God, or when you have respect for God, that God has respect for you.
Right.
And he says, when you have respect for one another, God has respect for you.
Yeah.
See? So when you move into the right channel of the way we live and the way we walk and treat one another, then God has respect to that. Right? And so respect is mutual. You want your coworkers to respect you, well, you've got to respect them.
Yeah.
If you want to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody's got different personalities. I understand that. Not asking you to be something that God didn't make you.
Right.
But you gotta extend that friendship out to others if you want others to be friendly to you.
Yeah.
We know that in scripture. So Brother Bram tells us he fears his wife, his church, the people, and I think you understand what he's saying there. So we have to have a fear. You know, in this message, you know, it used to be, and you've heard this before, it used to be, all that they wanted to preach was God sent a prophet, God sent a prophet, God. And I understand that. There was a time for that.
Yeah.
But then it moved into, hey, but what did he say?
Yeah.
What did that prophet say? And that's true, right? We do want to say, we do want people to know that God sent a prophet because that's worthy of being of listening to, like the woman to the well. When she found out he was a prophet, she wanted to talk about some serious matters.
Yeah.
So we want people to know that. But we want them to know what he said. And that's true too. But to me, it's gone even beyond that. It's not just that he sent a prophet, what did he say, but is, can we live what he's brought?
Right.
And that's where the message is now. Right now, the stage of the message is getting that character of Jesus Christ in us.
That's right.
Because listen, I do not want to meet God as a coward or as a failure. I want to meet him as an overcomer.
Yeah.
Because he has promised us overcoming power.
That's right.
And we'll all say, well, he can overcome all things. He can. There's not a thing that he can't help you with. But when it comes time to us actually overcoming in our life, then we kind of shy away. Well, you know, but the truth is that he is here to make you an overcomer to everything Satan tries to put on you.
Yeah.
Everything. And he's not a failure. He can do it. He knows, Scripture says, he knows how to help you when you've been tempted, because he was tempted likewise.
Yeah.
Right? He knows how to secure you, or whatever that word is.
Right.
He knows how. Right? And so I don't want to meet God as a failure, or as a, we all have failures, I shouldn't say that, we fail. But I want to meet him as an overcomer.
Yes.
Means if I've had trouble with pornography, I want to meet him as an overcomer to pornography.
Yes.
If I have a problem with gossip, I want to meet him as someone who has overcome gossip with his spirit in me.
Amen.
That has done that. And whatever it is, anything, whether it's, you know, lying, cheating, stealing, or being anger, or having a temper, I want to meet him as an overcomer, because he promised us an overcoming life.
Yeah.
Right? And so, but you have to have a fearful respect for the things of God, that he requires these things. He wants you to come before him as overcomers.
Right.
He wants you to look at these promises he's given you and go fight those devils that are trying to come at you, because he's promised that you can be an overcomer to it.
That's right.
See, and so that's character is a victory. It's not just a gift. It's victory. We have to fight to overcome. And so it used to be a prophet and then what he said, but really, it's when we go to meet him, we want to meet him with the same nature and character that he has. That way two birds of a feather can flock together, right?
Amen.
I want my spirit. You know, Brother Ram talked about how that the dove could not come down on a wolf. Because it was a different nature.
That's right.
But the dove could come down on the lamb, because the lamb had a meek nature like a dove does.
Right.
Right? And the Holy Spirit can't come down on someone that's got a wolf nature, right?
Right?
Holy Spirit wants to come down on somebody that's got a gentle nature like a dove or like a lamb.
Yeah.
Right. Right? And so, because he can't fellowship with a wolf nature. And so we want to meet the Lord in the rapture with the same spirit that he's got in him.
That's right.
Because then there won't be a clash.
Right.
It's real simple. We you know, that's why the scripture tells us, you know, that liar, thieves, and all, they won't be there.
No. Yeah.
Because they wouldn't belong.
Yeah, right.
They wouldn't be happy there. Mm-hmm. Because there wouldn't be anything for them to steal.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But they won't be happy there. So We live in a day where God, you know, it's the literal life of Christ that should come into us. And so, you know, when you go to school, we go to school 12 years or sometime more than that, and we all look for graduation.
Mm-hmm.
These two right here just went through that. Look for graduation.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a milestone. That's a big milestone. Well, that's when you reach the point where society says, you've learned enough that we think you can hit the ground running and you can go out into life and get a job and you can raise a family. You know, you have to reach a certain maturity level and a certain level in understanding to go out and do those things. You know, when I went to work for the company I work for, there were people who couldn't read working in the plant and stuff. They couldn't read, and they had a program that the company did so that people could learn, and they got to where they required it, that you had to be able to read and have a certain grade level of education. But you know, that they were failures of a system, because you're supposed to come to the place where you know all those things, and then you can go out and you can have a job and you can do good things. And so my whole point is, you know, you have all that training, but it doesn't do any good if you stop somewhere.
Yeah.
If you stop somewhere and you don't get all the way where you're supposed to be, then you're lacking.
That's
Right.
Well, what if we stop in gaining revelation in the message?
Right.
What if we stop in growing in the Lord?
Yeah.
Then where are we? We haven't graduated yet.
Right.
So you want to reach graduation, but then, you know, graduation, what does that mean? It doesn't do any good to graduate if you can't go out there and actually put it to work and live something of what you've learned. And so you see, we're in this stage where it's we got to keep growing. We got to keep desiring. And listen, God will give you those victories in your life. He'll make you overcomers of these things. But you can't. You got to want it. You've got to seek Him for it. You got to fight.
Right.
Be like Jacob and wrestle. Yeah. Wrestle with the Lord and wrestle and wrestle and wrestle until you know God's done something for you.
Amen.
And people just don't do that anymore.
You've got to
seek God until you know that He's changed something in you, until your walk changes.
Right.
Whatever it is. Even if you're a Christian with the Holy Ghost, you've got to seek God to get answers until He says and gives His word to you, and then you can go with peace in your heart.
Yeah.
Regardless if you got a Esau coming at you with an army.
Yeah.
You can go with peace.
That's right.
See, but that's what we have to do. And so you can't just graduate. You got to go out there and put it to work, put it into action, and get things done. And so that's kind of, you know, that's where we are. We're headed to graduation. We're headed to a place where God wants to put us to work.
Yeah.
He wants us to get out and go get a job, as it were, to do something for Him. And that's where so it's a program that's moving, but people have lost their reverence and their respect for God. And they don't seek God like they should. You know, people just go and, you know, they try to get this and that and build this, you know, wealth and all the different things like that. But I want to tell you something. You let sickness hit your body.
Yeah.
And it's serious.
Uh-huh.
And real quick, you'll say, you know what, I ain't got time for that stuff.
Yeah.
See what I mean? But we should be that way all the time.
Yes.
Brother Bram said we should be desperate.
Yes.
Right? And so you understand what I'm saying? There is a certain reverence. And so Brother Ben says, all the things that we've seen God doing, we should have a reverence, a respect for it. So with all the message unfolding and God bringing these truths and vindicating, and we have seen and witnessed in our day things that people for many ages wish they could see and didn't see. I listened to some of those testimonies on believers' testimonies on YouTube. Just absolutely tremendous. And not just things that happen in Brother Brandon's meeting, but things that happen in churches.
Yeah.
Right.
Tremendous things. And so when we see all the things that God has done, there's a certain level of reverence and respect we should have for what God has done in our midst.
Yeah.
Even in this little church.
Yeah.
Right here. We should have a reverence. Listen, we should still have a reverence when we come into the sanctuary.
Yeah.
Right? We should. Right?
Right?
And so God, because Brother Ram said, God demands respect. He demands, why? You're like, well, why does God demand? Well, listen, it's the way of life.
Right.
And if the only way you can live is to get on that conveyor belt of God's word, and that's the only way you're going to make it, then it's okay for Him to demand that we get on there.
Right.
So He demands the proper respect, reverence to His word, that we can let it work in us until we reach that place that we need to reach.
Yeah.
And so there's a proper level of respect that we should have. And remember, He says to those that more are given, more is required. We've seen a lot of things that a lot of people in this world have never seen.
Yeah.
And so I don't say that to heap any, but just to sober us up to remember that we are responsible. And God has done something, and we ought to be able to tell somebody. We ought to be able to have a zeal and share things with people. And so that's what we should do. And so we have to have a certain respect and reverence. So how can you do that? Well, you do it by receiving what God has done, receiving His word, believing it, and letting it change you. Where do you do that at? Just in your home? No, you do it everywhere. You do it at work. You do it in the store. Everywhere you go, you speak to people, let your light shine. I was telling the guy at work yesterday morning, I said, that's what you do. You tell people how God sets you free. When you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, Just tell people how God delivered you from all the things you had.
Amen.
It'll give them hope.
Sure.
Right? And so I was talking to a man a couple of days ago in Yeager's Monday, a guy I used to work with years ago. And it's kind of funny. I've told the story about a man that grabbed me on the arm one day when I had a shot, and I jerked my arm away from him, and he said something that was pretty laundry to me. He came back the next day and apologized. But that's the man I was speaking to, and he's got a big hernia sticking out on his stomach, and I got to talking to him there, and I said, well, I want to ask you a question. I said, are you serving the Lord? You still serving the Lord? Because you used to go to church. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, I am. He said, somebody asked me if I was covered by the blood. He said, I jumped into that 40 years ago. You know, I dove into it, into the blood. And but he got to tell him, he said, I have, and he's just full of joy, just happy. And, you know, he said, I've been retired for 2 years. And he said, I've got stage 4 cancer. He said, they've given me 4 months. He said, you know, 18 months ago when they told me I had it, I said, you know what? He said, these people that go and get all these treatments and all that, he said, they're out there in the graveyard. You know, he wasn't slamming doctors, but he said, you know, like all the quality of life or whatever. But, you know, he was saying, when I was born, God already knew the day that I was going to leave this planet. He said, I'm not worried about it. He said, I've had a good life. I'm just, you know, and I just thought, look at his testimony. Here he's got stage 4 cancer. They give him 4 months to live, and he's as happy as he's ever been his whole life.
Amen.
Not worried about a thing.
Yep.
That's the way it ought to be.
Amen.
You know, it's the way it ought to be. His attitude, his altitude. I mean, I thought, and I told him, I said, listen, your testimony is top notch. I said, because you're going through it, but your testimony, your attitude is just wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. He's not even in the message. Right? But he's got something inside enough to overcome the things of the world and say, praise God, there's a blood on that cross for me.
Yes.
Right? And so I thought that was a good testimony that there. And so we want to talk to people. I was, you know, talking to him, and it's funny how God brings people together. Because I hadn't seen him in years, 20 some odd years, when I quit my last job and I came to where I am now. And I was at Yeager's and to a couple of weeks ago, and I seen him and ran, hey, he recognized me, and I had to stop for, oh, yeah, I know who you are. And we just talked just briefly there, and he went on. I didn't think nothing about it. But I went there a couple of days ago, and as I was getting out of the truck, he was getting out of his vehicle. And so we got a chance to talk for a while. And it's interesting because my wife was grinning about this when I told her. He said, well, he said, you know, he said, I got this project I'm working on. He said, maybe you can help me with it. He said, I got this trailer, and he said, I want to close it in and make a camper out of it. and so I thought, well, let me tell you, I got some pictures to show you, you know. But I, you know, and so there's some reason why the Lord brought us together. But so, you know, if I harbored unforgiveness for what he did and what he said back when,
yeah,
you know, there's no way that would work, you know. So it's best to forgive.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord said, if we don't forgive others, he won't forgive us, right? So we have to have respect to all of God's program, to his word, to his servants, to his people. And Brother Branham gave, and this is something we need to remember and realize, okay? And I want to try, I hope I can lay this out. Brother Branham gave countless examples of people who were disrespectful. And you would think they were disrespectful to him, but just like he said, it wasn't disrespectful to him, but they were disrespectful to the gospel that he was preaching.
Yeah.
And terrible things happened to a lot of people who took a harsh stand against the message that you and I believe.
Right.
And there was a lot of it around him because that message, that prophet, that ministry was on display. And so you could see all the aspects of what God could do in that there for us to know that when people act arrogant toward the Word of God, you can be smitten for that. You can have things happen in your life if you have a bad attitude toward the Word of God. Yeah. And you may think it's Brother Tony or Brother Daniel or whoever else would come in here, we'd have come preach. But it's the Word of God. And there is a certain level of respect that we should have for one another. And especially if someone holding an office in a church, there's the office itself has a certain amount of respect that's due it. Right? And that God expects. Yep. Right? He demands respect to His Word. And when He takes and He anoints someone as a servant of the Lord to be a minister of the gospel, He expects reverence to that, the proper amount of. Not to think of someone higher than they are, but there is a proper amount of respect that God wants you to have toward the things that He's done and those that He's called and what He's doing and the sermons that are preached. And even if I was stood up here and stuttered or whatever, but God would bless you if you had the right attitude toward that, right? Because Brother Ram tells you, just remember, an arrogant spirit is not of God. It is not. And so, Brother Branham gives all these different examples. We've seen it. We know about a lot of them, the people that were challenging and disrespectful to the Word of God and so His ministry. And we need to remember that it's the same God, the same gospel. We're not Brother Branham standing up here, so I wouldn't expect God to do things, but He could. Right? Because it's the same Word. And so, if somebody's preaching the gospel, if it's the Word and it's the gospel and it's this message, if you don't like it, just don't say anything about it.
Right.
Protect yourself. Right? Don't. Because like Brother Brim said, there are people who have blasphemed the Holy Ghost and didn't even realize they did it because they took a harsh stand against the Word.
That's right.
So the best thing we can do is walk in humility and reverence and respect to the gospel. And listen, if it's not God, it'll fizzle out.
Yeah.
Right? But if it is God, we don't want to be found fighting against God, right? We want to have reverence and respect to anything that the Lord is doing.
Amen.
So Brother Branham tells about that. And so, wasn't Brother Branham they were against? It was the message, like it was with Samuel. God actually told Samuel. He said, Samuel, they're not rejecting you.
That's right.
They're rejecting me. And so there it is in the Bible, and so you know, then we know it's the same.
Yeah.
That people will disrespect ministry because they don't really, it's the Word they don't like.
Yeah.
You can have somebody and you get up and preach something that you don't like, steps on your toe, and now you don't like the man no more.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the favor that he used to have with you.
Right.
Because he preached something that's out of the Bible.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, the Holy Ghost works through people through their own demeanors.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he doesn't change. Some men are all fiery and some's quiet or whatever. God speaks and He speaks His Word through that man. And whatever they are to be respected. And this is not about, I don't, that was my purpose, but anyway, it comes to mind as I say these things. So we just remember, just like it was with Samuel, He said, they're not rejecting you, Samuel, they're rejecting me. Jesus never did act disrespectful to someone. Now think about it. He didn't call Judas friend when Judas came to kiss him with a betrayal. Right? Jesus didn't act. For Jesus to act disrespectful, He would have to stoop down from being what He was. Follow me? He'd have to be something that's not in His character to be. Now, you realize He's judge, and you realize He's going to judge this world, and there's a righteous judgment. But He was not disrespectful to people. So we shouldn't be either. The Shunammite woman had respect to God's prophet. Look what happened to her. When I think about that, that scripture comes to mind that if you receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. And Brother Branham was asked that question. What does that mean? What is a prophet's reward? Brother Branham said it is to be a friend to a prophet.
Right.
And when I heard it, I was like, what? What does that mean? Just to be a friend to a prophet? But he ended it by saying this, it might come in handy someday. It did for the Shunammite woman.
Yeah.
Now think about it. That Elijah visited, you know, the Shunammite woman, Elisha, widow woman. Think about those women, and they're typed today. God has sent a prophet today, Elijah, today. And so that Shunammite woman was respectful to the prophet, made room for him, put a place there, you know, for him. And what did he do? She bare a child.
Yeah.
If there was ever a church that needed to bear a child, it would be today. Well, the best way to do it is to give honor and respect to the prophet, to what God has done in our day.
Yeah.
42 children didn't have respect, and two she-bears came out and destroyed them. See, this is Bible.
Yeah.
These things can happen. And so I'd say that if we have respect to God's program and to his people and to everything that he's doing in our day, and one another, just love one another with reverence, and don't ever let anything come up between you. No evil thoughts.
Yeah.
You're not even supposed to receive it unless it comes by two or three witnesses and an accusation against an elder or something like that. But to just whether it's elders or not, just love one another, walk humbly, and do everything you can to help your brothers and sisters get the world off of them if there's any on them.
Right.
That's what communion and foot washing does.
Mm-hmm.
In foot washing, you know, they go and they go to bath houses or whatever places or whatever, they come in, they're clean except their feet.
Yeah.
Right? And Jesus said, you're clean, but, you know, and so they have a foot wash funky. They have somebody come in, and that humble position, low, wasn't anybody high, it was somebody low who had washed the feet. But what was he doing? They were clean, but if they're walking, they got a little bit of the world on their feet.
Yeah.
Here, brother, let me get that, help you get that off you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me help you as a Christian get that, what the world has influenced you. Let me get that off of you.
Yeah.
Let me help you. That's what that was.
Mm-hmm.
See? And so do that. Do that to one another. If you see somebody that falls, gets in, and does something wrong, or a lot of times just misunderstanding. But if that happens, well, go wash their feet, as it were. Help them do whatever to be what they're supposed to be. And so if we'll have respect for God's program and for his people and for everything he's doing, I believe it'll come in handy someday. Matter of fact, I believe it comes in handy every day.
Yeah.
If we'll just do that.
Amen.
Let's just bow our hearts as we pray. Lord, we thank you for this little time with your people, just to fellowship around your word. And I pray, God, that something's been said tonight that will inspire them. Lord, just to just be that much more fervent to seek you and ask that you would just come live in them. And do what no other world, person in the world, no other spirit can do, but to live this gospel just like you would do it, because it is you.
Yes.
We just pray, God, as you, I was meditating today, driving here to service tonight, and I was thinking of that scripture, how that you became sin, that we could be your righteousness, Lord. What a wonderful thing. So we just pray, Lord, that each one of us take these thoughts with them and just meditate upon them, and we just commit it into your hands now. Ask it in Jesus' name. Of the Lord.
Yeah.
So, wonder, not to put anybody on the spot, but that song that our sister sung a while ago, Holy, I just wondered if she'd come sing that again as a dismissal.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah.
I love that song. She gets through singing.